So our text is from John chapter 7. These words, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on this holy and joyful Pentecost Sunday, Martin Luther preached back in 1534, on this holy and joyful Pentecost Sunday, we give thanks. We give thanks to our Lord God as we celebrate the great and unending mercy which he made manifest on earth. He did that. Our Lord God did that by revealing from heaven to us his holy word. Now, that holy word is not a plain, not a common word, but that holy word is a special, a different word compared to the word that is compared to the law of Moses. For on this day, on Pentecost Sunday, the kingdom of Christ, it began through those apostles. It was made apparent through the gospel for all the world. Of course, in his person, Christ possessed his kingdom from eternity, but on this day, on Pentecost, Christ's kingdom was revealed. It was made known by the Holy Spirit through the apostles to all the world. What was this revelation accompanied by? But the great courage, daring, and joy of those poor fishermen, the apostles who had previously denied Christ and deserted Christ because their minds were slow, they were scared, and they despaired. So today on Pentecost, we celebrate the joyous, blessed, and precious kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is a kingdom which is full of joy, a kingdom full of confidence, a kingdom full of courage. So Luther preached so long ago. So what he preached in 1534 remains true for us today on Pentecost Sunday 2017. For Pentecost Sunday, it's not some strange celebration embraced by those into spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues, those into looking for some sort of sign from heaven like holy laughter, holy drunkenness, or those who'd prove their Christianity by handling poisonous snakes or rolling on the ground, wreathing until their cell phone rings, and in the middle of such wreathing, answering the call, and then when the call is done, going back to the wreathing, as a recent viral video on the internet shows. Look it up. What do such takes on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church do? But they turn our attention away from. They turn our hearts, they turn our minds and souls away from the joy and confidence and courage given to us by the Holy Spirit through Christ and in Christ and for Christ to some sort of a man-defined spiritualistic event. So there's confusion there today, isn't there? Someone hears that we're Christians and then they ask if we had some sort of experience like that, a baptism of the Spirit, for example. Well, we can answer yes. For when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. He came to dwell in our hearts, create faith there, give us joy and confidence and courage. Out of such a heart then flows rivers of living water. That is the word of God spoken and shared and used to offer aid and counsel and comfort. What kind of comfort? The comfort of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who comforts by making sad hearts glad and joyful towards God. Who tells us to be cheerful, for our sins are forgiven, death has been done in, heaven is open, and God is pleased with us. Now that truly is comfort, true comfort, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out upon his church on the day of Pentecost. But of course, in the world in which we live today, we can muck this up, and we do muck this up. How? Well, we do so by equating any joy, any confidence, any courage with that which is ours by means of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. So according to such thinking, all that we need to do then is to be Christians is somehow to create joy, somehow to make confidence, somehow to teach courage. Often, sadly, this is done through music. A crowd being whipped up into a frenzy or into some sort of excitement by that which is being performed on a stage in a church. But it doesn't really matter what type of music, what type of performance, what type of venue is used. Music can indeed do it. Tune in to the Metropolitan Opera on Saturday afternoon. Tune in there on the radio and listen to the crowd in New York City respond to the utterly amazing performances you will hear. Head down to Orchestra Hall in a couple of weeks and take in Mahler's Second Symphony. Go down to Target Center or the TCF Bank Stadium this summer. Catch the latest country or pop act. Watch a musical in St. Paul or whatever. It doesn't matter. Music has the power to bring courage and confidence and joy. But it doesn't make music a work of the Holy Spirit. And music in whatever form is certainly not a sacrament conveying to us the forgiveness of sins. The Holy Spirit doesn't use notes to create faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to create within our hearts love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That is the fruit of the Spirit. So there's confusion. Is music a wonderful gift of God? Most wonderful. Most amazing. Most fantastic. Can it be misused and mislead in a variety of forms and spiritual matters? You bet. But that shouldn't cause us to eschew courage or confidence or joy in Jesus Christ. That shouldn't cause us to somehow prevent that stream of living water, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation through the forgiveness of sin, to somehow be stopped from flowing forth from our hearts. For it's through the Word, and primarily the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit works as we speak to one another. It says there in Scripture, speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. As we read Scripture in our studies, as we share Scripture with our families, as we'd simply speak to someone we meet about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because we can't help but do so. Here, political correctness must end as we must proclaim to the world the joy, the courage, the confidence that is to be had in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For in Him, what do we have but the forgiveness of sin? In Him, what do we have but the King of creation who has committed Himself to us and given as a pledge of that commitment to us His Holy Spirit? What do we have but the most powerful man in the universe who is the very, very God Himself, who's declared Himself to be our friend and will do all, suffering even death for us? This should give us joy. This should give us confidence. This should give us courage. But joy and confidence and courage, joy and confidence and courage for their own sakes. That is joy for joy's sakes. Confidence for confidence's sake. Courage for courage's sake. Here, we're not talking about attributes needed to get ahead in the world, but attributes given to us simply so that we can live each day in the world, serving our neighbor in love, sharing the spiritual water of the gospel of Jesus Christ flowing from our hearts. And can that happen if we're sad? Can that happen if we're frightened? Can that happen if we lack confidence? No. A friend of mine once said to me, you know, I could be a pastor. I could be a pastor if I didn't have to work with people. It was funny. It was also profound. For we could say the same thing about being a Christian. You know, I could be a Christian if I didn't have to live with people. Because so often, that's the difficult part of Christianity, isn't it? Living with people. Certainly through faith created by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we can contemplate the wonders of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the profundity of His crucifixion, death, and resurrection, and even the marvelous event known as the Day of Pentecost. We can read our Bibles, and we can pray, and we can think of the many ways that God, our loving Heavenly Father, sustains us from day to day. But then we run into another person, another human being, and then what? We'd love to share some of the living water pooling up in our hearts. We'd love to pour out our hearts to them about our Savior Jesus Christ. We would yearn even to share a little tiny bit of the living water which we've stored up within us. But we're hampered, aren't we? We're stopped by timidity, prevented by fear, stymied by a lack of joy. Yes, joy. For you know what we're like when we're joyful. Usually when a person is joyful, they just simply can't stop talking. So let's grab on to this idea of the living water created within us by the Holy Spirit, the living water which is the Word of God, which must flow from our hearts in the form of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's acknowledge that this truly was what happened on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church to create the kingdom of Jesus Christ. For when a Christian begins to know Christ, so Luther again, to know Christ as his Lord and Savior, through whom he's redeemed from death and brought into his kingdom, inheritance, his heart's aglow with the flaming love of God. And he'd gladly help everyone to the same experience, for he has no greater joy than that he possesses this treasure, that he knows Christ. Therefore, he goes out and he teaches and exhorts other people, praising, testifying to it before all men, praying and yearning that they too might attain to such grace. This is a restless spirit, enjoying the highest rest in the grace and peace of God, for it cannot be silent or idle. It is always striving with all its powers to spread the honor and glory of God among the people, that others too may receive this spirit of grace. This is, again, the stream of living water that is trying to flow forth from us, a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our hearts on the day that we were baptized. So an experience of the Holy Spirit, we want one. We really want one. That urge within us to say something to someone, to a friend, a family member, a coworker about Jesus. Could be just a nudge, but it's there. The Holy Spirit working through us, through each of us, to expand the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to bring God's grace to others, to forgive sin, bring life and salvation by the river of living water flowing from our hearts.